If you love an Aussie underdog who punches above, look no further than Bluebet, the true blue Aussie bookie. Download the Bluebet app today and bet Australian. Conditions apply. Gamble responsibly. Gus Warland, Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor. This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Welcome to the Rush Hour. Gus, Jude and Wendell. Follow us on our socials at Rush Hour Triple M. How are you, Jude?
Mate, what a weekend. The Socceroos are in. And
well, they're not in yet, but they're
not in. No, well, good win. A good win, but also then put up the Christmas tree as well, which was...
gone early on that. Remember, we came up with a...
1st of December, wasn't it?
1st of December is what the listeners said.
Went early.
How you going, Del?
Mate, great. Beautiful weather over the weekend. Caught up with some friends. And, you know, when Australia win at anything, you know, I'm on that bandwagon.
We won the Wallabies as well, against the Wales team.
Wales.
Completely dominated until we came in over the top in the end. But
Davis Cup, we're into the finals.
Oh, we lost the final in the end.
No one cares about the Davis Cup, mate.
No, we're Leighton Hewitt, mate. He's a legend of Australian sport.
I don't care about Davis Cup.
He's now gone from a player to coaching, and just that next generation are coming through. So we end up coming second in that.
Yeah.
But what about you? Your kids are going to be...
Yeah.
Is there a night that they go to bed and mum and dad are actually in the house?
Because, mate,
is there another babysitter last night? Another stretch limo picking you and your missus up?
No stretch limo, mate.
Taking you to another event.
We were straight out to Guns N' Roses.
Little.
It was fantastic.
Do they have their own keys to the house?
Axel was on fire. Slash. Mate,
How was it, mate?
It was sensational. Such a big crowd.
And it rained too.
And it started to rain. Just this, when listening to this song and it's teeming down.
How many people were there last night? It looked a massive crowd.
It was about 70,000 or so.
Wow.
I'm not sure. It was like, it's unbelievable. They were in good form and it was just, it was brilliant to see.
Did you buy tickets?
Mate, I work for Triple M, mate.
Yeah,
that's what it's about.
Yeah, sorry.
Did you get up and dance a lot?
Yeah.
We were right up the front. It was awesome. So good. Yeah. My wife loves it.
Lynette would have hated it,
She's always loved, the Usually Illusion albums and stuff like that. So.
Yeah. And they still got it?
Yeah, it was amazing. I thought, is he going to be all right, Axel, here? And he was just on point.
How long did they play for, roughly?
A couple of hours.
Fantastic. Bring on you, mate.
Brilliant.
We're going to play some Guns N' Roses during the show at some stage. And, of course, we've been giving tickets away for the last couple of months on the show. So I hope people that went along had a really, really good time. Time now to talk a little sport. And there's so much sport news to go around at the moment. We're going to talk to Craig Foster about the Socceroos in about 15 minutes' time. But what about this? Canada trounced Australia in the Davis Cup final. Canada, in the end... took away our opportunity to win our 29th title. They were looking for their first, and they got it done. Now, it's a little bit different now, the Davis Cup.
New format,
It's a brand new format. It's basically over and done within a couple of weeks. A lot of criticism around it because you're not getting that through the year, the build-up through the rounds and into the quarterfinals, semifinals, and final. But it is what it is. We can only play in the format that it's come around, and in the end, we came second.
It's lost its sheen a little bit, hasn't it, though?
Oh, definitely. More than a little bit,
it was held in such high regard.
Yeah,
but, I mean,
let's just scrap
disappointing,
it.
Though.
Hold on, what'd you say?
Just scrap it. No one cares anymore. The old format was great, but this one, it doesn't work.
You can't just say to the game of tennis, we'll scrap your Davis Cup event.
Yeah, I know.
Because you don't like it.
I know, but I don't like it. Yeah.
Well, what about this, though? Never seen him so sick. Dragons Gunn was hospitalised with an illness that could end his footy career. Cody Ramsay, Dell for the Dragons fullback, is battling a serious illness that could force him to give up rugby league. The 22-year-old has spent the past fortnight in hospital after being diagnosed with ulcerative colitis and maybe require a surgery. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I read about that this morning, that too. It was after a 10K run and, you know, some people out there going, it's because he got the jab and all this sort of stuff, but I don't know enough about it. But, mate, such a talented young player. I think he's got two years left on his contract. So hopefully this young man pulls through. He's one of their shining lights at the club, you know, through a very dark day. So,
yeah, so he's fullback. He can play winger as well.
Utility, he can play anywhere in the backs. And he's a good young man, works hard. One of the fan favourites, young Cody Ramsay. So best of luck to the young man.
Now, also, this NRL are set to review state of origin eligibility laws. The NRL are looking into this. The current eligibility laws dictate that players who have represented a Tier 1 nation, such as New Zealand or Great Britain, are ineligible for state of origin. What do you think about this, mate? Because it opens up the door for the likes of, say, Victor Radley, who would then be able to represent New South Wales and England.
Yes, mate, just stop changing it. Like, I like where it's at the moment. And, I like Victor Radley too. So, mate, he made his choice to play for England. Like, we don't keep...
He's built for state of origin. Origin.
Of course
though.
He is. We know
to
he
see
is.
Him out there.
We know he is, but mate, he chose to play for England and he did a good job too. So they just got to stop trying to change these things up. Like, get some consistency in our football.
So it's no longer a dress rehearsal for making the Australian team.
Yes.
It's now going to be players in the NRL. The best players can play for either.
Yes.
I like it.
Don't you want to see the best? Don't you want to see the best players in the pinnacle there?
No, I don't. I like what's happening at the moment. There's enough players in and around that, and it rewards them also, you know?
Okay, well, what do you think?
What do you think?
I'd like to see them.
I'd love to see Radley play for New South Wales.
Of course you would. Yeah, of course you would.
That's absolutely perfect. What happened in Fancy Dress? Want your calls on 1-333-53. Fancy Dress parties, what has happened? And I've got to say, we've got one here for Triple M for our Christmas party, and I'm off it. And I'm off fancy dress parties, full stop. I just think they're unnecessary. It's hard enough to get up and get to the party and so forth, learn to have to go and find an outfit or try to be smart enough to sort of keep up with the people that do it like nearly full time.
It's called effort.
Yes.
Putting in an effort. That's what it is.
Me turning up and having a few beers and that sort of stuff's enough. It should be enough.
Oh,
I shouldn't have to be dressed as Captain Steubing or whatever it might be.
Sorry, Your Royal Highness. Gus is here. He made the effort to be here.
Fancy dress is beneath him. Yes. That's what he said.
Fancy dress is just overcomplicating going out.
Yeah, mate, when someone goes to a bit of effort,
come and have
it
their
makes
own
it such a good night.
Yeah. It's you can have fun. I like
it's not
it.
For me.
I like seeing people dress up. I like dressing up.
Mate, okay, so when was the last... Shush, dude. What were you saying, Del?
What's that? When was the last time I dressed up?
Yes.
I'm not sure, but that's what I'm looking forward to, because we've been like...
What are you going to be dressed at on Thursday night?
A cowboy.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, you've done that before, though, haven't you, with the overalls and things like that?
Yeah, you wearing a shirt, or are you just wearing sort of like a sleeveless number? Or
I'll wear a sleeveless number.
You wearing like leather chaps?
No. But I'll just, look at you, trying to get my outfit together. But because of there's been a lot of what's at the moment, what's that movie at the moment on Tombstone or whatever?
Yellowstone,
yeah, so Tombstone.
Well, that was the number one TV show in the world.
Yeah, so I haven't watched it, I'm getting there.
You've told me, Gus Wallen, that you had just one of the great nights at your goddaughter's 21st, where you and your cousin turned up and he went as bourbon and you went as Coke. And
that is true.
And you actually put some effort in, you said it was a great night, but now you just turn on fancy dress now.
Yeah, well, I had forgotten that was one of the great nights, actually.
What was so good about it?
The music was fantastic. I think music is the key, but it was great because we walked in and it was like seven Power Rangers all of a sudden dancing. I'm like, that's really cool. Then they took their sort of gear off or their head off, and it was like, oh, that's my cousin and that's what. So I sort of understand where you're coming from.
Oh, here we go.
What about you, big fella? Yeah.
I've been to a few crackers. There was one, this school fete, and we had to all turn up. It was called Under the Big Top, and I think I went as a ringmaster or something like that.
Of course.
Like, you had to sort of come as different things. But there was this one guy in the gorilla in a cage outfit, and he was like trapped in this big thing, and you had to pass him a drink in between the cage, and he was trying to get it.
He stayed in there the whole night.
It was like over.
Isn't
above.
That one of those things you walk in and everyone has a laugh at, and then you take it off?
It's commitment to the task and a little bit of effort again.
So even like around Mad Mondays, footballers, they love those Mad Mondays and all sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And one I love going as you know the old horse head but it was hard because when you had to have a drink, you had to lift up, so it was really annoying. But those horse heads, they were really good.
Hot.
That was hot.
I had a girlfriend that looked a bit like a horse. So my mates used to call her that. Anyway, give us a call on 1-333-53. What happened in fancy dress? Lumpy from Penrith, start the ball rolling for us, mate. What happened in fancy dress?
Hey, legends, how you doing? All right?
Good, brother. Lumpy.
That's the way. Well, I tell you what, it was back in the 90s, and we were going to a fancy dress party over at Greystones. Now, it was a cross dress, so me and my mate have dressed up like drag queens, and the car ran out of fuel.
Oh.
So it was, laugh. So it ran out of fuel at Minchinbury. Now, I don't know whether you knew Minchinbury back in the day, but there was ladies of the night that used to hang around a servo there. So it was rock, papers and scissors who was going to go for the walk to go and get the jerry can for the fuel. I lost. And I had to walk down the highway where these ladies of the night were.
Yeah.
And I was wondering whether I was going to get attacked by some pimp or something. But anyway, I had to go into the servo and buy a jerry can and get some fuel dressed as a drag queen. And from that point on, I don't do fancy dress anymore.
Oh, good call, Lumpy. Yeah. Well done,
Lumpy. Good on you, Lumpy.
Did you get not lucky that night, Lumpy?
Not sure why they call you Lumpy, but anyway, thanks, mate. Yeah.
Let's go to Steve in Milbury. Hi, Steve.
How are you, boys?
Not good, too bad, Steve. Mate. What happened in fancy dress?
Well, it's almost a similar story. Went to a change of sex party, and I had a couple of girls who I knew, not like that, but they worked at the local brothel. So they said, yeah, sure, we'll tart you up. So I got the wig and the makeup and the little skimpy outfit on. On the proviso that I had to sit in the waiting room with them.
Wow.
Okay.
So a couple of drunk lads showed up. They're looking at them. They start looking at me. So I got the hell out of there.
Oh, you reckon they're eyeing you up, Stevie?
Well, that's what it sort of felt like.
I
got a little bit creeped out, so I got the hell out of Dodge real quick.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. Yeah. Have you guys ever dressed in your wife or girlfriend's gear?
No, I just don't.
I remember, this is bringing back a memory for me. I actually quite like it, I think. I think I remember feeling quite free.
I can understand you would like it. Yeah. You would be that sort of guy.
What about you, Jude?
No, I've never dressed up in Lynette's, no.
Never?
I reckon you would have, mate.
I had a dressing gown on the other day, the pink dressing gown.
There you go. Yeah, I reckon you're in her gear more often than you like to say. Time now for this.
It's a Soccer's Holy Grail Tournament update.
Yep, that's our update because we don't have the rights really to talk about it. But what about last night? Upset after upset. Costa Rica beat Japan. Morocco beats Belgium. Croatia beat Canada. That was expected. Spain and Germany, a fantastic match this morning. And, of course, tonight it's Cameroon versus Serbia. But the Socceroos, their path to the World Cup knockout stage is in their hands. So we thought we'd get Foz back, Craig Foster, soon to be Australian of the Year on SBS, joining us again to talk all things football. Thanks a lot, Foz, for your time, mate.
That's okay, guys. Always good to chat.
Mate, Socceroo's path is in its own hands now. If France wins or draws against Tunisia, we just need a draw against Denmark. There's some other bits and bobs as well, but at least now we know that we can go through if we get a good result.
Yeah, that's right. And although France have 6 points and they're obviously going to rest some players, they should be more than good enough for Tunisia. So we need them to get that job done. But as you say, this is a wonderful opportunity to not just be able to go through for the second time in our history. And as you know, that was the first win in 12 years. So it's a really fantastic moment that we have to savour. But in fact, to win for the first time consecutive games. So it's a great chance against what is a strong Denmark. But the team obviously has demonstrated incredible determination, against... in the last game against Tunisia, particularly in that last 20, 30 minutes, everyone saw the incredible passion they had, the perseverance, flying into tackles. That determination was amazing, and they're going to need it to get through against Denmark.
Well, as you mentioned, the sliding in for incredible tackles. Harry Suter, he's putting zeros on his contract at this point, but, he's come back from an ACL as well and only 3 games back, but, gee, he's been important.
No, I mean, it's been unbelievable. Like what he did in that game, both games, he's been outstanding. But to think how fatigued he must have been in that last half hour and to be covering his other players, making 2 or 3 amazing last-ditch tackles, just incredible. But I tell you what, they were fantastic all over the field in terms of their physical commitment. It was from the front to the back. So, in the first half in particular, Mitch Duke did the same thing. Right, so he led from the front. He was harrying everything. He was closing down. You saw him get, he fell on the ground. They threw a ball at him. And he was up in a very Australian way. He was at their bench. He was like, hey, what's going on here? No, that's not going to happen. And that's what the Australians like. The players really thrive on that. That's exactly right. You're there to compete. But we want to play football. We want to show the world that we can play. But, hey, no one is going to take anything off the Australians. No one's going to treat him in that way. And so it brings all the players up, it gets the fans up, and so that was also good to see. It was right around the field.
Well, Foss, I was going to ask that question. The energy is great, and in Australia we love winning. Did I see somewhere that someone said that we should get a public holiday for the win in the World Cup?
No. I was going to be excited. I said, look, because Saudi Arabia had a public holiday and Japan had one just for winning a game, right? Yeah. They were big upset for us. I said, come on, Albo, we need one. But I tell you what, if we get past Denmark into the second round, I reckon Albo should put his hand up like Hawkey did you know, back in the 80s and say, look, okay, maybe not a public holiday, but don't go to work. Everything will be cool.
Exactly right. You don't have to ring in and come up with some sort of dodgy excuse. What I've loved about what you guys have done at SBS, if you're absolutely pumped and want to get up live, it's all there for you. But you can wake up at 5:30, pick up all the highlights, all the goals on the app and so forth, and then watch the game at 6 a.m., which is what my son and I have been doing. It really is a festival of football at the moment that you're putting on, because it is tough with the time difference here in Australia, but you've made it really easy for us.
Listen, it's tough for the old guys, you know, like myself. I have to stay up all through the night for it. So, yeah, for you guys, you can watch the 3-minute highlights or the 25-minute highlights. That's great. You know, for us, everyone's trying to live on Qatar time. So it's a big month. We're going to be frazzled by the end, but, you know, it's worth it. To see the Socceroos, to see what they've done so far, it's wonderful. Look, we know, of course, there's been a huge amount of problems with this tournament. We're still talking about all the human rights abuses and so on. We don't want to put those to one side, but, you know, it is testament to when the tournament gets going. The excitement level is so massive that, you know, we've got to work to make sure that we're always conscious of that.
Mm. And Group E, the game today, Spain and Germany, I mean, 1-1 draw, but she was an important late goal for Germany because they were up against it.
Yeah, you know what? They're very, very good. So, you know, because they lost the first game to Japan, you know, everyone has kind of written them off because they also went out in the group stage the last time, and I actually think they're fantastic. So they destroyed Japan, and Japan are above us in our qualification series, right? They absolutely destroyed them. So we have the thing called expected goals, which is basically an analysis that says on the basis of all the chances that you create in a game, how many goals should you really by right have scored? Yeah. And they had, aside from France, they had the highest in the whole tournament so far, and yet they lost it. So it was ridiculous that they lost. Against Spain, who was a magnificent team, they were very, very strong. Right, so they had 2 or 3, 4 chances late on. I actually think if they do get out of the group, and they still can, they're going to be very dangerous. Amazing. Once they get out into the knockout rounds, no one wants them. And in Germany, always build slow in tournaments, right? Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them keep going semi final and beyond.
There you go, Foz. Thanks so much, mate. Go on and get a little bit of rest before you do it all again tonight. Perfect. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Craig Foster there. Time now to talk some AFL. Yes, some footy news around this draft, which is starting tonight.
It is, yeah. So the AFL draft, there've been a lot of movement around the pre-trade period and things like that. And now it comes to the actual national draft, and it's run over 2 nights. Tonight will be the round one, which goes up to 18 picks, and then tomorrow will be round two onwards. So
before we get into sort of Sydney and the Giants and all the picks, what pick were you, and what's it like sitting there going, I might get picked, I may not? Like, what was the situation for you?
Yeah, the Swans had 3 picks inside the top 10 that year, and I went pick 8 that year. So I had interviews from all the clubs, so I'd sort of know that sort of nervous feeling that the guys have to go into the national draft, and it, you know, it is. You got to pick up your life.
It could change your life.
Could change your life.
Where did you want to go? What club?
I actually did want to go to Sydney in the end.
Like, honestly,
I was a young kid, sort of working out where I was going to be, because they had 3 picks inside the top 10. I sort of had more inkling that they could go there, but I could have gone to Port Adelaide. They had 2 inside the top 10 as well.
You're a Sydney man, not a Port Adelaide man. Exactly. Come on. Yeah. The nightlife just wouldn't suit you over there.
Just for tonight, in terms of the Giants and the Swans, I mean, they're going to be pretty active because there's 5 of the 18 picks are held by the Giants and the Swans. And the Giants have number 1 pick in the draft, which is always exciting. The interesting thing is that there is a young kid from Brisbane who's in the Brisbane Lions. He's a father-son, Will Ashcroft.
Oh, yes.
Marcus, so if you're a father-son... If your dad has played, that means that they definitely get you and no one else can.
Yeah, over a certain number of games. So it's just a great chance to keep that sort of legacy going on. And there's a young kid, Will Ashcroft, who's a really highly rated mid, and there's an interesting thing whether the Giants will try and nominate him first up, which forces Brisbane then to match and then jump up their draft order. So the other option, I think that'll end up being, that's what'll actually end up happening, I believe, which then means the pick number 1 for the Giants would go down to pick number 2. It becomes pick number 2, and they will take Aaron Cadman, I believe, which is largely what everyone thinks is this 195-centimetre Jeremy Cameron-type key forward. He's been a standout at the draft. He's a strong player. Then North Melbourne have 2 picks after that, which they'll likely go hard at mid, which is George Wardlaw and Harry Sheezel, a forward. But the interesting thing and where it actually starts is Essendon's pick four, which becomes pick five. And that's where the draft will really start to open up. There could be a lot of machinations from there. So,
do you reckon the Swannies and the Giants look like they could get some good youngsters? Will the Swannies pick up someone half decent too?
So the Swans have 14 and 17, Dell, and there's a lot of talk around whether they've offered them to other clubs just to say we want to improve our position for 2023. So
we've got a pretty good
give
sort
us a
of
good
roster
offer.
Now.
Give us a good offer. So
okay,
yeah, and there's big plays apparently for that Don's pick four. From the Demons, who have offered three first rounders for to change their right. So there's got a lot of movement. In terms of the Swans, I think they're probably looking for a little bit of runoff halfback, bit of skill, potentially another backup ruckman. But this is your chance to really improve your list over the next period.
Tomorrow you'll give us the update on what the Giants got and what the Swannies got.
Exactly.
I'm blowing up at Arnott's here. Absolutely blowing
Why
up at Arnott's. Arnott's Australia have revealed it's quietly discontinued their classic honey jumble biscuit.
Mate, can I just
honey
say...
Honey jumbles, what
yeah,
are they?
What are they?
They are. What do you mean, what are they? Have you never had them?
No.
Describe
are you
them,
serious?
You? Yes.
They're a very soft honey and gingerbread with either a pink or a white little coating over the top. They are delicious.
Like the same sort of... Like, coating like a finger bun or something like that, is it?
Exactly, like a finger bun on top of a honey gingerbread soft, just melts in your mouth type stuff. They're an excellent bickie.
Well, no wonder they're being discontinued when Dell and I don't.
We don't know what they are, so if we don't know what they are, like, they can't be that good.
I'm a biscuit fiend.
Yes.
Actually, it must be the poor man's Kingston, is it?
Actually, I'm just a
it's
fiend.
It's a very different biscuit to a Kingston, you clown. They've also discontinued the classic assorted.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Like, what is going on at Arnott's?
Yeah, they're doing stuff.
What is going on?
They haven't discontinued the family, though, have they?
No, the family assorted is fine, but the classic assorted. The
classic's good.
Your reason why you call them classics?
Because they're classics.
Who's
making
these
decisions?
Honey
Jumble is not a classic.
Yeah, Honey Jumble, that's not...
Could we have got some notice? Could the Honey Jumble lover got some little bit of notice?
How much notice?
How much
notice?
Stockpiled some up?
How much?
Would you have just cleaned the shelves like toilet paper in the middle of COVID?
Exactly. The Biscuits Giants confirmed the beloved ginger-flavoured sweet was pulled from production in July 2021. And there are zero plans to bring it back. Reported claims of low sales.
Yes.
Well, when was the last time you gave the Honey Jumble a little bit of love, a bit of marketing, a bit of support?
That's
a bit
what?
Of advertising.
That's
Give
what?
The Honey Jumble a chance.
It's gone. Gone.
Mate. There's no tears here. Yeah.
No tears from you blokes.
You'll be right. I'm pretty sure you'll find another biscuit.
World Cup triumph, obviously, for the Socceroos was fantastic. We just spoke to Foz, and the entire interview is up there on our podcast. The Strikers won the WBBL title, beating the Sixers. Melbourne won the AFLW for the first time. They're the premiers. And, of course, the Wallabies unbelievably got out of jail against Wales,
good
losing by 20-odd points.
After a bit disappointing.
It's been a crook one for us, but a good result, and the boys can now have a bit of a break before they get into a World Cup year. But let's talk some more sport right now, Jude.
Yeah, Dell, Tim Sheen's overhaul of the Tigers is set to continue. He's the new coach has spotted meeting with Eels forward Nathan Brown. And, of course, Brown was given permission to negotiate with Riles during the 2022 season and featured only 14 times before the recall for the grand final. What do you think?
Yeah, look, I think Nathan Brown, if you get a player like him, you know what to expect, you know?
Yeah.
I think he started his career at the Tigers, so to go back there, he can see some upside there, Tim Sheens. But I think it's up to Nathan Brown too because, I mean, he could stay at Parramatta and do a job there, but sometimes you need to move on a little bit.
Just to freshen up a bit?
I think so. I just think, you know...
He didn't play in every game for Parramatta in the end there, did he?
He was a little bit in and out. Sort of on the outer there, and then he sort of run the coach and said, man, I'll do a job for you, you know, and in the grand final, and then he got that opportunity.
And the Tigers already recruited Isaiah Papali'i
Well, that's what I mean. You know, he's there too. So
I think every club would like a Nathan Brown. He's just one of those blokes that
you can stick
in there and he can come off the bench or start for you. And he certainly fires up the...
He's got a job to do. You know what he's got to do and he does it well.
Now, premiership winning forward George Burgess has retired from rugby league effective immediately. Injuries have played a part. The 30-year-old announced his retirement via Instagram. And Yeah, obviously he's won a premiership with the Rabbitohs, mate. What do you think?
Yeah, look, he's had a great career, but I think that hip injury, I think he had like when he was over in the Super League, and he wanted to come back, and I think the Dragons gave an opportunity, and it just didn't work out for him, unfortunately. But, mate, he's the Burgess boys have been so good, so they're slowly one by one.
There's one left. What about Cristiano Ronaldo, boys? Could continue his career in Saudi Arabia. Let's have a little look-see at his wages. $111 million a year. That's $9.25 million a month, or just a lazy $2.13 million a week. Now, would you want to go to Saudi Arabia? A, he's got to be worth close to $1 billion anyway with his wages on top of all his sponsorship and so forth. But it looks like it's not going to happen at Man United after what happened the last month or so. He's out there at the moment for Portugal, doing a good job, scored in their first match. What are your thoughts here? Would you guys, both of you, just go simply for the dough? Because the league itself's not much.
He's already got a heap of dough. I don't know. I'd find it pretty hard to up
when
and
you've
lift
already
the,
got a bill.
Up and lift the family and things like that. It'd be pretty tough conditions.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be going.
We'll wait and see. That's a big offer. $330 million over 3 years. Crazy.
Yeah, he always adds different different layers to his brand, but I don't know if he needs to go to Saudi Arabia and take money. It'll be a mercenary though if he did. I mean, no one would begrudge him for doing it. His brand's iconic.
His sponsorship deals for the remainder of his career as well as post. It's gonna be enormous.
He's taking the cash big time if he goes there. Time now to talk about sport, guys, and the money that's going into sport in New South Wales. We're falling behind all the other states. This is just an example. A lack of facilities is so bad now that 10,000 children who want to play basketball in this state are turned away every single year.
Wow.
A new report by Sport New South Wales has found. So thought we'd get Sport New South Wales chairman on the line. His name is Chris Hall. How are you, mate?
I'm well. Thanks for having me on the show.
It's an absolute pleasure. Of course, we're very focused. We've got a couple of sports blokes here who spent their life playing professional sport, and I've watched every sport that's known to man. What is going on? How is New South Wales, the premier state, so far behind other states in terms of their funding?
Well, that's right. The key issue here is that funding for our state sporting organisations has remained the same for 22 years since the year 2000. And even the RBA has said inflation is the equivalent of 67% in that time, and we all know inflation's still going up. So all we're asking for here as state sporting organisations is an additional $1 per person in New South Wales, taking us from about $2.5 million up to $10 million a year. We don't think it's that much to ask for.
Yeah, it's not a huge ask, is it, Chris? And I guess you look at it also, some of these are Olympic sports as well that are getting funded as little as $5,000. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
So the three Olympic sports that get $5,000 a year are ice racing, archery and handball. And we're no less proud when Simon Fairweather won gold at the Sydney Olympics in archery, or Stephen Bradbury went across the line with that gold medal way back when, than when our team runs out at a core stadium when we're taking on the Queenslanders.
So who do we need to talk to here to get that money through? Because, you know, time and time again, we talk about sport. We just went through COVID the last couple of years. We need to get that funding for the next generation.
That's right. So we're calling on the Minister for Sport and the Shadow Minister for Sport to make their commitments for the next 4 years. As you know, in New South Wales, we're going into an election in March, and we need both sides to commit funding for our sports, but also to commit to facilities. And there's been some great programs recently investing in community facilities, but we're just worried about, will it go on for the next 4 years? And, you know, New South Wales is a big state. From Menindee to Maroubra, Albury to Austinville, there's thousands of facilities that need work.
Mm. Chris, I mean, the things like Active Kids in New South Wales has been an important program. What else can the government be doing?
Well, that's a good point. Active Kids has been fantastic. And, in fact, the research says that kids who are involved in the Active Kids program do one day more activity a week than those who don't. But that voucher actually runs out on the 30th of June next year. And so we want that renewed. We'd like it to be extended down to three-year-olds, just like the first lap voucher is. Mm-hmm. And even, you know, we say to the government, why don't you consider the active adults voucher? It doesn't yet exist, but it'd be great to get more adults running around and being fitter. And I'll just point out one thing. Ausplay put out a report about 3 weeks ago that said 11% of adults no longer think physical activity is a priority. So we need to get them moving as well.
Yeah, the link between physical fitness, mental fitness is huge. And then, of course, the bills that are going on at the moment around mental health. I mean, if we can just chip away at that, there'll be plenty of money left for the money that you require for all these facilities, as well as the sports themselves. We've got to look at the bigger picture here, that sport is such a wonderful thing for our mental fitness.
Oh, 100%. And for the parents' mental fitness. We all know as parents that if our kids are tired because they've been playing sport, they're so much better to deal with at home.
Yeah, no, it's exactly right, Chris. Look, we wish you all the very best. Let's hope that everyone is listening and maybe a big sponsor can listen as well, because we can't be falling behind all these other states. We are the premier state. So you keep fighting the good fight, and we're right here to support you if you need us.
Thanks for your support, guys. Really appreciate it.
Good on you. There's Chris Hall. He is the chairman of Sport New South Wales.
The Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Weekdays from 4 on Triple M.